Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Matthew 24 and 25, all those verses, we go on and on, all these verses we read all day long, it talks about the Lord coming. Well, in Titus chapter number 2, verse number 13, another wonderful verse, Titus 2, 13. Looking for, and the word looking for literally means to readily anticipate that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And by the way, if anybody ever tells you that Jesus Christ is not God, here's another verse that you could take them to. The Bible is so clear about this. The appearing of the great God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to get in our message this morning from Isaiah 9:6. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Do you know one reason Jehovah's Witness does not celebrate Christmas? They do not believe that Jesus Christ is God, very God. They don't even want to talk about it. They don't believe he's God incarnate in the flesh. And that's why one reason I can imagine that the leaders of the Jehovah's Witness tell them, don't pass out Christmas cards, because the Christmas cards would say, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You have a hard time differentiating Jesus Christ from the Mighty God and the Everlasting Father. He's called the Everlasting Father. Jesus Christ is God, very God in flesh. Amen and amen. And here's a wonderful verse that's speaking about that. Speaking of his coming, looking for that blessed hope. By the way, are you looking for him today? I am. He could come at any moment. We're to look for that, to readily anticipate. Again, that's that imminent mentality. It's so clear in Scripture. We're to look for the coming of Christ. And then we see in James chapter number 5, James chapter number 5, verses 5 through 7. And the first two words are so difficult for us. Be patient. It says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. We're to be patient. I want him to come now. We're to be patient, therefore, because he's going to come at the right moment, just at the right time. Remember that Martha, Lord, at the graveside of Lazarus, if you'd been here at the right time, my brother Lazarus, he wouldn't have come. But Jesus Christ always comes right on time, at the exact right moment. Matter of fact, in Galatians, we read in the fullness of time, when fullness of time was come, literally Jesus Christ was born at the exact moment that he was supposed to be born. Well, we're taught to be patient in James chapter number 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Be patient. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience forth until he sees the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Remember the farmers out there, he planted the seed and he knows it's going to come up and he knows he's going to reap a harvest. He just don't know when. He knows it's going to happen. Verse number 8, be ye patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Verse number 9, grudge not one against another. You know what the word grudge means? It's just the opposite of what we talked about Wednesday night. Remember we talked about Wednesday night? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Well, notice he didn't say grudge in the Lord always, and again I say grudge. Or that the word grudge is just the opposite of rejoicing. It means to complain all the time. And we have people complain all the time, do we not? Even believers. Quit complaining. And he's telling us, grudge not against one another. Whoop, time out. All right. Do you know you're supposed to quit talking about one another? Amen, preacher. Quit talking about your brothers and sisters in Christ. Grudge not, it's what it says, grudge not one against another. Preacher, do you know about sister so-and-so? No, really, unless it's affecting the church, I really don't need to know. Unless you understand, there's a lot of things that's left unsaid, and if it gets where it's a problem in the church, that's a whole other issue. But the point is, quit talking about one another. Amen? If somebody starts talking to you about somebody, just wait a minute. Why don't you get somebody else, and we'll hear it in the mouth of two or three witnesses, and all of a sudden it's going to stop right quick-like, okay? Because you know what they're doing? They're gossiping. They're grudging. I like that. Grudge not against one another. Brethren, lest ye be condemned. The word condemned does not mean you're going to die and go to hell. The word condemned means you're going to be judged. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. And again, it's that imminent mentality. Jesus could come at any moment. So watch, be careful about your conversation, because we're all going to stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to be the great judge. And we're going to be judged, 1 Corinthians tells us, according to our works, according to our deeds. There's that wood, hay, stubble, gold, precious stones, all those things. And he's going to try them with the penetrating gaze of his eyes and look past our deeds and look at our motives. In other words, why did we do what we did? Is that good English? Why did we do what we did? I guess that's good English, ain't it? Proper English. Okay. Did we do it for the praise of man or for the praise of God? If we did it for our praise or the praise of man, well, we got our reward. If we did it for the praise of God, well, he gives us rewards. And that's what this is talking about here in James chapter number 5. Now, 1 John. Again, I'm just hitting a few. We could be here all day looking at scriptures of speaking of his coming. 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 28. 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Let me read this again. And now, little children, he's talking to believers, abide in him. Stay close to him. Abide in me and I'll abide in you. Jesus, that was in John earlier, but he says that when he shall appear, who is he? Jesus Christ, when he comes. We don't know when he's coming, but when he comes, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Let me ask you a question. If we knew Jesus was going to come in the middle of the tribulation or at the seventh trumpet, we wouldn't keep our candle trimmed and burning. We wouldn't keep it. Are you following? We'd be slack in our, well, I have time to get things right with God. I can do what I'm doing because Jesus cannot come till whenever. But the scripture tells us here, now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall come, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. He's coming at any moment, and we have to be prepared for that. Yes. 1 John 2:28. We need to be ready. Let me give you an illustration of this. I wasn't going to go here, but I could do this in 2-3 minutes. A Jewish wedding, when Jesus said that I'll come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's that Greek word paralambano. It's a marriage, a word of marriage. I'm going to get you and I'm going to marry you. That where I am, there you may be also. The disciples knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. Because back then they would have, when the young man would want to marry a young lady, they married ladies back then, men and ladies, but that's a whole other story. That he would go to the father, and he would say, I want to marry your daughter. And they would make a dowry. And again, I can't get into all of this. It's really good, though. And the father says, okay, you want to marry my daughter, you have to pay this certain amount. Whether it's 10 cows or 20 sheep or whatever it may be, he has to pay a dowry. He pays that dowry. He pays that to the father. And then he goes to that bride. And again, there's a lot I'm not adding in here. He goes to the bride and they drink from a cup. And they're betrothed to each other and they make a promise. I'll be true to you and you be true to me. That's why we read about Joseph and Mary, about they were married but they hadn't come together yet. In Jewish law, in Jewish minds and law, they were already married. They were betrothed. And they were as good as married. They just hadn't come together yet. That's why the angel told Joseph, fear not. Don't put Mary away. In other words, don't divorce her. Because in his mind, she fooled around on him. And how can this be? And the angel appears, Joseph, this is of God. Don't divorce her. Even though they hadn't. Are you following? That's the thought. So back then, they were married. The father, the son would go back to the father's house and would build a house for the bride. In my father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.